If you picked up a copy of the morning sheet, you'll find that there are several lessons on that particular paper. You'll also see, if you scan that information, that with this material, we're going to concentrate on a few words. I want to begin by looking at the word into. That is a preposition, and after we cite some information about that and some of the passages where it occurs, we want to look then at two more words, out of. When you look at the sheet and all of the passages that we're going to cite, first of all, they all have something in common. That is, they have the preposition into. If you want to follow along in the Bible, and this is going to be an easy lesson to follow, the first passage comes from Matthew chapter 2. This is, of course, the area of the Bible where Jesus was visited by some wise men. In Matthew 2:11, the text tells us that these men came into the house. Well, even small children can understand what the text is trying to say. When the Bible says they went into the house, that does not mean that these wise men passed by the house. Neither does it mean that they walked around the house. They did not stand in the door, peek in the windows for a little while, and finally leave. Into means they actually entered the residence. They went inside. Well, after Jesus' family had been in this house for a little while, the wise men left, and Joseph received a message. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I tell thee, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Both the American Standard and the King James translation say, Go, flee, run into Egypt. What if Joseph had chosen another country? Would he have been obedient to the heavenly message? What if this family had gone just 3 or 4 or 5 miles down the road? Would that have been okay? The angel said, you need to go into Egypt. And that meant actually entering this country. Into often describes a location. It can also describe a relationship. We may enter into an agreement with another person. People are often spoken of as entering into a marriage, or they enter into a business partnership. Well, Joseph was told what to do, and the Bible says that he did what the angel said, verse 14. Joseph took his family, he went into Egypt and left the land of Israel. Later, as we'll see, he left the land of Egypt and came back into the land of Israel. Into definitely describes a change in location. In the next chapter, Matthew chapter 3, we once again see the force of into. By the time we get over to the third chapter of Matthew, Jesus has grown. He is about ready to enter or engage in his earthly ministry. But before he did that, the Bible tells us that John the Baptist went ahead of him and he prepared the way. Listen to what the prophet said in Matthew 3, verse 10. And now, even the axe lies at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, it's getting to the time of year. It was mentioned earlier that things are starting to warm up, and that's good news. We all appreciate that. The weather's been so good that I talked to some folks who last Friday night had a bonfire. So at least in Elkhart County, some hot dogs and marshmallows have already been roasted outside. There's been at least one fire. Guy beat me. You know, if you have a fire, we put wood into that fire. If we put wood around the fire, it's probably not going to burn. Into expresses the idea of contact. In the case of Matthew chapter 3, direct contact with the fire. Now, we may put that wood into the fire quickly. We may put the wood into the fire slowly. Or we may use a speed somewhat in between the two. It may be a small stick. It may be a big log. But it goes into the fire. Matthew 3:12 shows us just how important the word into is in our spiritual life. John also said, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. In our area, we have a number of people who farm. Many farmers have and use barns. These men know that they need some type of storage place or facility for what they harvest. When a farmer says to someone, take my crop, take my hay, whatever it is, into the barn, nobody questions what the farmer means. Into, plus the word barn, leaves no doubt about what is to be done. It would be wrong if a farmer said, take the hay into the barn, to take that hay and leave it outside the barn. If he says, take it into the barn, it would be wrong to leave it in front of the barn. Into means into. From Matthew 2:11 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 14, I find that the word into in the American Standard Translation occurs 604 times. Now, we could continue to cite verses where this term occurs, but we would see time and time again the points that we have already made. Into is repeatedly used to describe either a location or some type of relationship. Well, let's hold on to that little fact for a bit. And let's look at the other two words that deserve attention. In fact, they're going to serve as a contrast. Now that we've looked at into, let's spend some time on out of. Out of course, is also a fairly prominent expression in the New Testament. It's not quite as emphatic as into. It's only found 222 times. But let's look at some of the same places that we've been before, but now look at it from the standpoint of out of. We want to go back to where we were, the second chapter of Matthew. Now, we saw the importance of into in Jesus' earthly family, in their lives. We saw that the wise men came into the house. We saw that Jesus and his family went into the land of Egypt and then back into the land of Israel. Well, since all of these things are describing into, we would expect that some of those same passages would describe at a later time out of. If you turn back to Matthew 2, let's look at the information in verse 15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of, there's our expression, Egypt, I called my son. In verse 14, we have Mary and Joseph going into the land of Egypt. But when we look at verse 15, this same group of people are finally coming out of that land. What's being said? It's being said that there was a change in the location for this family. Just as into describes a location or relationship, so out of also describes a relationship or perhaps, a location. In Matthew 3:17, in that next chapter, we are told that there was a voice that came out of the heavens. Then a little later in Matthew 8, verse 28, we're told that there was a man who came out of the tombs. Well, a man can only come out of the graveyard if he first went into the graveyard. A person speaks out of his heart, Matthew 12, verse 34. Well, a person cannot speak out of their heart until some information has been put into their heart. If evil words are put into a child, then what we expect to come out of the child is, of course, consistent with what went into the child. We cannot put bad information in and expect good information to come out. Then a little later, in the next chapter, Matthew 13, verse 41, we are told at the end of time, angels will gather evil people out of the kingdom. Well, we cannot be taken out of the kingdom unless there was ever a time when we were put into the kingdom. What is said in Matthew 13 brings us to a key point in this lesson. These three words, into, out, and of, have great bearing on our lives when it comes to salvation. In fact, if the words out of are not part of our lives, we cannot be right with God. In the book of Galatians, Galatians 1 verse 4, the Bible says, Paul affirmed that the world in his day was an evil place. When we look at our society, things as they are right now, our world in its entirety, we would agree that that is still true. Ever since the introduction of sin, our world has not been a good place. Because our world is an evil place, it is filled with temptation. And at some point, all who are at a point where they are old enough to know right from wrong, they eventually succumb. All people eventually commit some type of sin. Well, in Galatians 1:4, Paul says that it is possible to be delivered out of this evil world. Now, God says for that to happen, we need some help. We choose what's wrong. That choice corrupts us. We are guilty of sin, and we require deliverance. How then do we get out of that state that sin puts us into? How do we get out of the evil world and receive that forgiveness? Well, I want to move, as far as our next reference, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. And we're going to not only read from that first chapter, but we're going to look at some other passages in this book as well. Colossians provides a little more information, a few more details about the process. In verse 13 of Colossians 1, Paul says the world is a place of darkness. It's not only a place of wickedness, but Paul says that this place is very powerful. Yet even though it is a very wicked and terrible place, Paul said that deliverance is possible. If you found Colossians 1, here is the full thought. Who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now notice, as you look at verse 13 of Colossians 1, Paul says, out of. We, if we are a Christian, were at one time in the power of darkness. But Paul says something happened. There was something that occurred in our lives that brought us out of that power. Well, before leaving this particular verse, be sure to also jot down this point. Do we not also see the preposition into in this same passage? Out of one place and into another place. And Paul says this other place is the kingdom of God. Out of and into are three of the most important words we will ever find in the New Testament. Well, again, someone says, well, that information all makes sense. But how do we get out of this evil kingdom, and how do we get into the good kingdom, the kingdom of Christ? Well, in the next chapter, Colossians chapter 2, we are told how the process does not work. Sometimes it's helpful to study something from a negative standpoint, and that's what we want to do for a couple of minutes. Paul says in 2:14, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. In other words, some of the Colossians were toying with parts of the Old Testament law. This was a common problem in the first century. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, I want you to know that Jesus took that Old Testament law and he nailed it to the cross. Now, we cannot get out of the power of darkness and out of Satan's kingdom in Colossians 1, verse 13, by going into the law of Moses. That law has been removed when Jesus died on the cross. So if we're going to get out of condemnation and into salvation, it must be by some other means. Well, another method that's not going to help us is found a little later. In fact, it's the last verse in Colossians 2. Verse 23 says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and severity to the body, but are not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. Paul's describing various types of religion that were formulated by men in the first century. He said that to use these systems of religion, they're not going to be productive. They're not going to allow you to be saved. So something else has to be used to bring people out of darkness and into the kingdom of Christ. In fact, the Bible affirms that God has a way. He has just one way to help men and women become his people. But the Bible goes on to say that this one way that God has is not popular with a lot of folks. If you're still following along, let's move a little more deeply into the New Testament to the book of 2 Timothy. The specific passage that we want is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Now, as you look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, you find a little bit of the context. Paul, at this point in his life, was an old man. He was aged. And as he writes to a young preacher, he gives him a very serious charge. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you in the sight of God as well as Jesus Christ. In other words, I charge you, I'm giving you this information in the presence of the very one who will one day judge the world. All the information in the Bible is important. But Paul calls special attention to what follows. And here he says in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4, preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. God's plan for man is sometimes out of season. Well, Paul did not mean by this that God sometimes does not like his plan for man. It means that there are sometimes, there are some periods, some occasions where there are some folks who do not like the plan that God has given in his word. Some men do not want to hear that they need to come out of their current way of life. Many become involved with sin and they want to remain exactly where they are. They don't want to make any kind of change. They like their habits. They like their speech. They like what they call freedom, and they do not want to change. When they are told that they need to repent, the attitude of some is, I don't think so. That's not going to be the way that I live my life. Other men are interested in God, but they do not like the specific plan that God has given for people to obey. They reason, well, yes, I need God, and I understand that Christ is the payment for sin, and I know that I need to come out of that way of life, but I'm going to come out on my own religious terms. We can't do that. Colossians 2:23, that's a matter of will worship. It's a matter of saying, we're going to do this my way. God says that will not work. We cannot come out of sin and into the kingdom of righteousness except for the way that God has given. Well, after the book of 2 Timothy 4, 2 Timothy in that fourth chapter, we can move a few more pages in the New Testament and come to the book of Hebrews. I want to read a passage from the end of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. In Hebrews 3, Moses and the Israelites are the primary subjects in this chapter. Moses was a great man. Israel was a great nation. Israel was also a nation that needed deliverance, and it got deliverance through Moses. Verse 16, for who, when they heard, did provoke? Nay, did they not all that came out of Egypt come by Moses? Notice this point. Israel did come out of Egypt, but they had to do this by or through Moses. There was only one plan to make it out of Egypt, and all Israel had to obey that single plan. Had that one plan not been obeyed, those people would not have come out of Egypt, or they would not have come out successfully. They would not have been delivered. Today, all accountable people are guilty of sin. And they need to come out of the condemnation that they deserve. Somebody says, well, yes, and tell me how to do that. How do we come out of sin and out in into the kingdom that we read about in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13? Here they are. Galatians 3:27 says, a person is baptized into Christ. Well, now that's helpful. When we know all the information about those prepositions and how they work in the New Testament, and then we turn over to Galatians 3, someone says, how does the process work? Lay it out for me. Paul did in that verse. Not only did he say in Galatians 3:27 that we are baptized into Christ, that's how we're brought out of the kingdom of Satan, of darkness, and brought into the kingdom of his dear son, he repeated the point in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. There he worded the point slightly differently, but he says a person is baptized into Christ Jesus. Saying a prayer will not take us out of sin and put us into Christ. Confessing Jesus in some way will not take us out of sin and put us into Christ. Faith alone will not take us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of Christ. Faith plus repentance will not take us out of wrong and put us into Christ. Faith plus repentance plus confession will not take us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into Christ. The Bible says, Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6, verse 3, that baptism is that final act. Do we need faith? Yes. Do we need repentance? Yes. Do we need confession? Yes. But we also need baptism because it puts us into Christ. It's in the Word of God. It is black and white. How odd it is for some in the religious realm to say that a person is baptized after they're saved. In other words, here's a person, you believe, you become a child of God, and then you can be baptized at a later time. If a person is saved without baptism, what does baptism do, biblically speaking, at a later time? If a person is saved without it, then when they're saved and baptized later, at that later time, what does baptism take them from and put them into? There's no meaningful answer to that particular question. Out of and into show the essentiality of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Thus we ask this simple but life-changing question. Have we, as individuals, come out of sin, darkness, and an eternity without hope and without God, and into the kingdom of His Son by being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins? If the answer to that question is no, that's a need that you have. And that's a need that we hope that you will respond to today and act on. Because the Bible does, in the clearest possible way, say that we are baptized into Christ. If you've never done that, can we help you with that this morning as we stand and sing the selected song?